Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
So do we have Audrey here?
We have her.
Who doesn't need to hear all this nonsense from me?
You know, Audrey. Steve, I was going to say, I can't follow that up. I've got nothing for you.
There we go. By the way, just so everybody knows, not only was Jalen Pickett the national player of the week, he was also, in a major shock, the Big Ten player of the week. And it looks like he didn't have to share it, which is, you know, unusual for the Big Ten. All right, so that's a good thing. All right, Audrey, the announcement made last week, and it was not unexpected, that Penn State intends to go in the direction of renovation of Beaver Stadium, which in a lot of ways is a rebuild. What was your thought when you saw that?
Yeah, you're right, Steve. I mean, this was the expected outcome. You know, I think that you look at it, and the thing that surprised me is looking back, I mean, the facility master plan, it's going to be 6 years next month, which makes me feel old because in some ways it feels like that was pretty recent. But again, I think fans have to remember the stadium was never part of that initial wave, that first five-year plan. So I think fans have been waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen with the stadium, and then Pat Kraft takes over, and there were more studies conducted, and at some point, I talked with Pat in September, and he said, like, okay, at some point, we just got to have all the data and say, let's make a decision and go. And that's what we're seeing now. I mean, that's what Friday's announcement was. It was, hey, this is the definitive, here's what we're going to do, which looks like this way all the time, but it's more economical to do this renovation. And again, you're going to have to do it in phases so the team can still play there. But then what we're going to get into here in the coming months and years, we'll see again, because the timeline with this thing is still really fluid. What's the financial model look like? What are these actual upgrades? You know, how many changes? What's the timeline for the project? There's still so many unknowns with the stadium. But I think if you're a Penn State fan, you're saying, okay, at least we know now that that really small percentage chance that maybe they were going to build a new stadium, that's officially off the table.
Well, and realistically, they would still have to play there, as you said, Audrey, because let's take Northwestern, for example. Northwestern's going to do a full rebuild and have a smaller stadium, which probably fits their needs anyway. But they can go to Soldier Field and play, and they're within the proximity of their footprint. Penn State had no opportunity to do that.
Right. Yeah, I guess we won't be seeing them at the State High Field anytime soon, right?
Or at the Link, or at whatever they want to call it in Pittsburgh this month.
So, yeah. Formerly Heinz Field, right?
Formerly Heinz Field. What does this do for the future of the program once they get this thing started? And what can it mean, not just now, but for the 30s and 40s of Penn State football?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's huge. I think you look at it and you say, okay, one, it's overdue, right? This has needed to happen for a long time. Now, again, what do these upgrades look like? We'll have to see. I know one of the things that Pat Kraft had mentioned when we spoke in the fall was that widening the concourse is something that you just look at trying to get people in and out of the stands. I know the fans, they've heard the complaints about the Wi-Fi, about the bathrooms. So it's all those types of things, right? You're making it a more appealing atmosphere for everybody. But on top of that, you have to keep in mind the expanded college football playoff gives this a sense of urgency. If you are going to host a game at Beaver Stadium, which Penn State could do, and again, Penn State's one of the biggest beneficiaries of this expanded playoff field, you need to make sure that your building can withstand that, that it's looking its best, that you're not holding your breath, hoping that it's a warm day in December and that the pipes don't freeze. I mean, there's all these things that the playoff makes this a point of emphasis now, something that you have to do. But again, you look at, you know, the upside of this, it's the moneymaker, Steve. I mean, it's the reason why people flock to Central Pennsylvania in the fall. And so the more times per year you can use this stadium for other things, and we saw it a little bit with Top Golf, but there are also different events that they can do to get the community more involved, not necessarily huge moneymakers, but things like that. I mean, it just gives it so much more use than the, you know, six, seven times a year.
When you look at the football program right now, Audrey, they're going through winter workouts. Their fifth one is coming up on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. When you look at the makeup of this team, I thought James made the most interesting comment of all right out of the gate, which I expected him to say anyway. But the leadership component of last year's team was special, you could see from day one. How do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, that's the big kind of the big theme this spring is, you know, you kind of took for granted forever that Sean Clifford was here, PJ Mustipher was here, Jonathan Sutherland, Jair Brown, all those guys. I mean, that was your nucleus of the team, your leadership, four-time team captains. You have a pair of them in that group. So, yeah, who steps up? And I think the interesting thing is with Drew Aller, he's your quarterback, regardless of the fact that, you know, he's only been on campus for a year. He has to have that vocal presence. It comes with the position, whether you like it or not. And having a chance to talk with Drew this offseason, he said, yeah, it's something that he's working on. And teammates said that they have noticed him being more vocal in workouts, and he's been trying to get the wide receivers together. But, you know, it comes with the territory. And I thought it was really interesting this past weekend when Penn State had their Thon event over in the football building. And we had a chance to talk with Kalen King, and Kalen King said, yeah, I learned a lot from Joey Porter Jr., and one of those things was how to lead. And Kalen was really honest about that and said that's not something he's really familiar with or particularly enjoys being a leader, that twin brother Kobe was kind of their spokesman all along. But he said that's something he has to do. So I think the fact that they're so aware of it and that James is so aware of it, to me that's something that it has to happen organically between now and August.
In that regard, the specter of Sean Clifford of being here 6 years, how helpful is it now that Aller and Prabula saw what he did and how he went about his business?
It's huge. I think so much of what we heard last year was that Sean, you know, doesn't get enough credit for these things behind the scenes. And this is what I think we're going to see and hear more about this year. You know, how did Sean watch film? What was he doing on Mondays and Tuesdays to prepare for the game that Saturday? Like, all those little details, the fact that both of those guys were able to be sponges to him, it's invaluable. You know, I think there's the live experience certainly matters a lot, and it was really good that Penn State was able to get Drew in as many games as they did. But so much of the behind-the-scenes stuff was just as important, because you're looking at how do you process information quickly, and, you know, maybe what tips or tricks did he learn from Sean, or maybe things that Sean said, hey, early on in my career, I wish I would have known this, and, hey, Drew, here's how I would go about that. So there's a lot of value to that, but I do expect that at some point this season, Steve, we're going to hear more of Drew saying, oh, yeah, like this was something that Sean taught me, or I remember when Sean said this. Because that's kind of, you know, how you bridge these legacies and careers. Like, these guys, they're going to be tied together for a really long time, kind of as the one era to the next.
A guy that was not here in the spring, and I think people assume he was here in the spring, was denied Dennis Sutton. Another guy, too, is Abdul Carter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, two guys that were not here in the spring last year. When you had a chance to sit down with them on the media get-together, what was the thought from each of them about going through a winter workout for the first time, going through a spring practice for the first time?
The winter workouts were a little harder than they thought. They heard kind of the horror stories of it,
yeah.
And the, hey, it's going to be really tough. And Denai said that, you know, this is something that mentally it pushes you. Obviously, physically it's difficult. It is what it is. But he said mentally, like, this is the time of the year where you figure out what you're made of and just how hard you can push yourself. And, I mean, these are two guys that are going to be future stars on this defense. I mean, we saw it from Abdul Carter this past year for sure. But I think Denai Dennis Sutton, you just look at him physically, Steve, and this does not look like someone who was in a high school a year ago. I mean, he's just built differently, put together differently. And again, I mean, all the experience he gained last year is going to be really critical, too, as you look at that defensive end rotation with Adisa Isaac and Chop Robinson. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for Denai Dennis Sutton. But, yeah, Abdul Carter, the thing that he said he's really working on this year is film study. He wants to become a better student of the game, and that this is something last year at this time he wasn't really able to wade into much. So you look at it now, you say, okay, you get your first winter, your first spring. He's still trying to have Manny Diaz challenge him as much as possible and wants to learn as much as he can from Manny. But a lot of that is the behind-the-scenes stuff. And that's what, and you know, another thing with this time of year is about figuring out what works for you with your preparation and what are maybe some tendencies you can pick up on film now, whether about yourself or about your opponents. So there's a lot happening, even if it's not front and center this time of year.
A couple of years ago, there were two players that entered the transfer portal, Lamont Wade and Cam Sullivan Brown, that then opted to come back to Penn State. Devon Townley has done that. And I know that you ended up asking Drew Shelton about, give me an under-the-radar guy. And let's face it, to me it makes sense. And the reason it makes sense to me is if you watch practice on the scout team, who was Drew Shelton going up against a lot? Devon Townley.
Mm-hmm.
What did he tell you about him and why he thinks he's an under-the-radar guy?
Yeah, you know, and that was one of those answers that I was not expecting to get, right? You go into this, you say, oh, okay,
yeah.
Like, he pinpoints Devon Townley Jr. as somebody who stood out to him, and he said, yeah, I was excited to see him exit the portal and stay at Penn State. And I think the interesting thing with Townley to me is that this winter he's listed at 6'6", 267, and Penn State's listing him as a defensive tackle. And seeing him at the Thon event this past weekend, he looks much bigger. He looks like a defensive tackle that's growing into that position. So I think, for me, like, that position is going to be interesting because, you know, he came here as an end but was a bigger guy, and his position has gone back and forth since he's been here. So he's one of those guys that you want to keep an eye on this spring that you want to learn more about, because the fact that, you know, Drew Shelton comes in here as a surprise, again, another guy who wasn't here last spring, comes right in, does really well, and then says, oh, yeah, by the way, this guy was giving me fits in practice, and that guy is Devon Townley Jr. It just speaks to the depth of this program and the talent that, you know, we keep seeing more and more of this talent, Steve, but there's even more, I think, than what scratches the surface. And if you're Townley, you say, okay, you're going to come back this spring and probably see where things stand after spring ball, but give yourself, you know, it looks like he's put himself in a really good position to push for some time right now, at least.
Also, through the bowl game and then in this session that was in earlier this month, everybody got a chance to talk with both Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. How did they strike you?
You know, I knew coming into it that they were men of few words, and their teammates had backed that, and they had backed that. You know, they're guys that they're just laid back, and they do not say a ton, and that's kind of – they were the same way as recruits, so nothing has changed on that front. But Nick Singleton did seem kind of more at ease, more relaxed earlier this month when we spoke. And, you know, the thing for them is that they get along really well. And I think you look at the culture in that room that Jaywan Sider has built, not only the talent, there's been a ton of talent that's come through that room, but the culture of, okay, it's all right if we share carries. Like, they are, both guys are okay with that. And, you know, to me, that's a little bit surprising, but it makes sense when you think about the next level and limiting wear and tear for these guys. But, yeah, I mean, Penn State is in such a good position in that backfield, and everybody saw it last year. And I think the exciting part about it is now, and this is something that Singleton had touched on, he said, I want to catch more passes, and the coaching staff wants me to catch more passes. So they've got him doing a little bit of work with the receivers to work on his hands a little bit, work on his routes, because that's one area that he wants to work into his game a little bit more. So, again, you look at opening this offense up even more than they did last year, and it's definitely exciting. And I think it's, you can feel the excitement around the program this time of year, which isn't something that we were able to say the last few years.
I know. I believe the athletic directors are meeting today and tomorrow, I think, in Chicago. I know they're talking about scheduling. If they do go away from divisions and decide to go with the 3-6-6 model, your opinion, who should the three be for Penn State that are on the schedule every year?
You know what? So we ran a poll on the athletic
We read the poll with attribution on the show Friday.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and you tell you what, the thing, Ohio State, Steve, that's what fans wanted in our poll. I agree. Like, to me, that's the one that, you know, you always say, okay, who's Penn State's rival? And we all know that how that discussion goes. Ohio State makes sense. The thing that surprised me was Maryland as that number two choice. But then the more I thought about it, regionally, yes, you get a lot of guys from Maryland. You know, former faces, teammates from high school, you get that. The way things have been, it does soften the schedule a little bit. So I get that. I like that. The third, for me, is kind of the one that we've seen creep up here the last decade. Penn State, Iowa. I mean, the fans have been at each other the last few years. Of course, we had the big injury gate, you know, scenario and the booing of injuries.
Well,
that's only fueled this thing.
Yeah, that's the wrestling thing, right? I mean, that's what it is.
I mean, and I think, yeah, I mean, I think, but you look at it for the football, I mean, there have been some great games between those teams, and I think if you think about it as a third, like, to me, that's a third program. The atmosphere at Kinnick's great. Now, selfishly, I'd like to see USC or UCLA.
Yeah, me too.
Out there, Steve, but I don't know if we'll be seeing that. But, yeah, it is going to be really interesting to see how they come up with the scheduling model.
You'll see it. And the reason you'll see it, maybe not every year, Audrey, you'll see because, look, they didn't go into these TV deals to have USC and UCLA not play Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State.
Yeah, yeah, yep, you're right. No, you're right. We'll get there at some point, Steve. Just how soon, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at some point it will be. But the idea would be that in a four-year span, you'd play everybody. That's what the 3-6-6 model is about. What struck me was looking at the Ohio State and that part of the poll. Like, there's no question who one was. But there also was no question who number two was for Ohio State in that poll. It was Penn State.
Yeah. And to me, it's interesting because then I think if you're Ohio State, you're like, all right, we're sick and tired of going to Beaver Stadium. We're sick and tired of being on the receiving end of the whiteout because they have been quite a bit. But there have been so many great games, and, you know, Penn State has played them better than so many other teams, and I think that's the other, you know, yeah, sure, fans can point to the record. I get all that. But when you dissect those games and how close they've been, and we saw it for three quarters again this year, I mean, this is a really nice back and forth that's been going on here. And again, you look at down the road, if you're Penn State, Ohio State's always going to be well-positioned in the conversation for the playoffs. So you certainly want to ramp up your schedule to that point where you can get to the Buckeyes.
And just for the record, so the Ohio State fans know, you have not been the whiteout game here since 2018. All right, so it's a fact.
But they would have been in 2020 had it not been COVID. I think we could probably agree on that.
It was a gray out.
Yeah, a bleacher out.
Yeah, it was a gray out. I mean, it's, you know, it was a battleship gray. All right, Audrey, it's always a pleasure. You do great work as always. I for one, really enjoy it very much.
Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate it. Take care.